Welcome to the Global Venturing Review podcast. My name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief of our three publications, Global Corporate Venturing, Global University Venturing, and Global Government Venturing. It gives me great pleasure to introduce the past week's news, and with Thierry Hellis off for the past few days, I'll be covering this and looking across the excitement of the entrepreneurial ecosystem and seeing what all the funding and fund launches and latest news has been. And actually, one of the more interesting sort of deals I've seen over the past week is quite an interesting startup coming out of Oxford University. 5 years ago, the most common question asked by university technology transfer offices was about how to better connect with corporations to help fund and develop research ideas and hopefully lead to the commercialization of them through product development and startup creation. However, their oft-repeated concern was that while they were trying to understand corporate needs and how to attribute intellectual property and then find funding, corporations have been slow to respond and understand their needs. In the past 5 years since Global University Venturing was developed as a sister title to Global Corporate Venturing, it has been heartening to see how both sides have moved their understanding and taken more practical steps to help realise what I had back then called the greatest period of commercial and practical peacetime innovation in history. Bit of hyperbole there, or hyperbole, but it actually seems to have paid off, actually. Last week's launch of Spy Biotech, the Oxford University spin-out, using a so-called biochemical superglue that can facilitate rapid development of robust and novel vaccines, is a great example of the steps forward that have been taken. It's a sign of the relative experience accrued by the tech transfer office and academics. The four academics joining in Spy Biotech, Mark Howarth, Sami Biswas, Simon Draper, and Dr. Jin Ying combined have taken 12 products to phase 1 and 2 trials, filed 9 patents on vaccines and other technologies, and have extensive experience in biotech and industrial collaborations and partnerships. This commercialization of Spy Biotech's technology and company formation developed by these four academics was supported by Oxford University Innovation, the research commercialization company of Oxford University, OUI, as Oxford University Innovation is called, was able to take this experience, found the team, and a separate CEO will be hired shortly, and find supportive investors. Oxford Sciences Innovation, the patient capital, University Venturing Fund for Oxford University, led the £4 million investment in Spy Bio, with GV, an independent corporate venture news search engine provider Alphabet, joining in participation. If you look at a bit of the background, you see quite how this deal has come together. Founded in 2009, GV committed to OSI, Oxford Sciences Innovation, when it raised its first £320 million in June 2015. This was OSI subsequently expanded to £580 million last year. And GV's move to support such a nascent portfolio company in SpyBio is more in line with its roots back in lots of early stage companies before its later drift into later stage larger rounds. At Google, now Alphabet, was prepared to invest in and work with Oxford in helping set up its University Venture Fund, its build connections, and also allow the fund to be a beacon signalling potentially disruptive portfolio companies that could be of interest to a corporation looking for the next big thing. As a discussion of corporate ventures hosted by healthcare company Johnson & Johnson and Global Corporate Venture in Silicon Valley last month noted, CEOs increasingly ask their innovations units to find the next big thing for fear of missing out. GCV and consultants Bell Macy Group will, in May, publish a qualitative results of dozens of interviews by CVCs at the London Symposium organised by Global Corporate Venturing as part of the GCV Powerlist 100. And given such mandates by the CEOs, it's no surprise that other corporations, such as China-based media and gaming group Tencent, which is also committed to OSI, have followed GV and back in university venture funds and there's been else. First comprehensive directory of these vehicles will also be published at this GCV symposium as part of our Gulf Fusion conference connecting universities and corporations together. For example, also within the UK's so-called Golden Triangle of academic centres, Cambridge University and London-based Imperial College and University College in February announced the first four drug discovery projects to be backed by the corporate and university-backed Apollo Therapeutics Fund, in which, interestingly enough, J&J is also a limited partner. But while Spy Bio is an example, the development in this field is increasingly rapid. Oxford University has seen its spin-out company rate double from 10 to 21, and seed funding for those startups increased by fivefold, £9.5 million to £52.6 million, a single calendar year, 2015 to 2016. And the results are not limited to Oxford's Dream Inspires. In a statement along with its excellent half-year interim results last week, Russ Cummins, CEO of Touchstone Innovations, a UK-listed university-focused investor, and he'll also be a keynote speaker at a GovFusion conference, said, quote, "Our patient and focused approach to investing for long term is now showing real results, with a number of substantial transactions endorsing our model. Notably, the recent Cyoxus Therapeutics and Crescendo Biologics collaborations worth potentially $936 million and $790 million respectively, and Cell Medica and Palmside completed material fund rounds, while Circassia agreed a $230 million collaboration with AstraZeneca." Cummins continues, "We have a dozen companies of material scale and considerable potential. Most of our larger and maturing unlisted companies make significant progress and approaching key inflection points. We have great depth to our portfolio, with another 20 portfolio companies also making significant progress and showing rapid development. This not only reflects the fruits of 10 years of investment, but also the more recent acceleration of capital deployment, with 63% of all funds invested by innovations being made within the last 3.5 years. The vast majority of this capital has gone into existing portfolio companies that we know about." So, end quote from Russ there. But if you look similarly, the US-based university system of Maryland 5 years ago set itself a goal of creating more than 300 startup companies within the system by 2020. Now it's more than 500 companies and it's just set up a planned $25 million fund to support startups formed within the system's 12 public institutions. The success in this field is probably less about numbers than impact, as most traditional VCs seem to flee early stage deals, leaving them to angels and accelerators. Having long-term supportive investors such as university and corporate venture funds give probably the best chance a truly groundbreaking idea such as BuyBio can change the world. If we look elsewhere in the news, Linda Naylor, the Oxford University Innovations Managing Director, speaks to Global University Venture about her influential career. And Tim Harper from Bessemer also looked at the recently published Managing Intellectual Property and Technology Transfer report from the government and asked why a dozen reviews have failed to lead to substantial changes. We are continuing to see a number of sort of new venture and fund launches. Panasonic, the Japan-based electronics producer, will put an initial $100 million into a California-based unit called Panasonic Ventures in order to access new business models, products and services. German consumer products and industrial manufacturer Henkel has been exploring corporate venture over the past years, part of a larger open innovation strategy. It's now formalised its investment by forming a dedicated venture capital unit, Henkel Ventures. The fund will pump up to €150 million into the fund, which will add to investments in 3 startups and 2 VC funds. Intex, a consumer electronics maker, has entered corporate venturing with its Router investment, and it will invest up to $31 million in strategic investments. While Phoenix has raised with a corporate-backed fund, the Phoenix Venture Partners new fund has Pfizer, 3M, Corning, Eastman Chemical, Solvay, Showa Denko and WL Gore as limited partners. While on the government side, we've seen Canada unveil its 2017 budget, which include a $710 million commitment to establish clusters focused on technology such as artificial intelligence, and also $300 million to support the innovation ecosystem through the Venture Capital Catalyst Initiative. Global Corporate Venturing is partnering with Canada's government through its BDC unit in order to put together a first conference later this month on between the 10th and the 12th of April. Looking forward to seeing more than 30 international corporations join our delegation to join that conference there. That should be exciting to see how that goes. But obviously fundraising, so do investments, but you also want to see the exits. If you look at the exit front, we've seen a number of potential actual IPOs announced. Alteryx processed $126 million in its IPO. The Thomson Reuters-backed data analytics company floated at the top of its range, and the stock finished almost 11% up on its first day of trading. Others are planning to float, such as fintech developer Aondo, which is set to list on a Singapore exchange at a $158 million valuation, giving ProSieben Sat.Hines an exit. BuzzFeed has quietly begun prep work on a 2018 IPO, called into unnamed sources to Axios, although rival paper FT was slightly more doubtful. Other potential IPOs could be Chinese bicycle sharing company Yuan Bike, which could give an exit to Ant Financial and IDG Capital if it floats on the Shanghai Stock Exchange, while Axia Therapeutics, which was spun out of Ionis Pharmaceuticals in 2015, has filed to raise up to $100 million in an IPO, on which Novartis is backed. More tangible exits so far have been some trade sales. Boston Scientific snatches Symetris for $435 million, which gives an exit to Novartis for the heart valve replacement maker Symetris, while Cirrus proves the right formula for Nippon Shikubai, which the chemical producer will acquire monomer and derivative developer Cirrus, which had raised $35 million in equity from Mitsui General Motors. Ethicon has extracted Torax in an acquisition deal. Johnson & Johnson, Kaiser Permanente, and Mayo Clinic have all exited the medical device producer in an acquisition of undisclosed size by Johnson & Johnson subsidiary Thicon. While less positively, perhaps, Quickly is closed, reportedly due to an Alibaba debt deal. Mobile search platform Quickly, which last month revealed it was exploring strategic options, has reportedly shut down due to provisions in a loan from equity investor Alibaba. On the investment side of things, news broke last week that SoftBank was lining up $1 billion investment in Southeast Asian ride-hailing company Grab, and now sources have told Newswire Bloomberg they could provide a mammoth $6 billion funding to another on-demand ride service, China's Didi Chuxing, which is already backed by Tencent, to my knowledge. No one seems sure where it will come from SoftBank itself or its $100 billion vision fund, although perhaps more likely to be the latter, but size investments big enough that some of Didi Chuxing's other corporate backers, notably Apple and Tencent, are reportedly thinking of kicking in capital themselves to maintain their stake sizes. SoftBank will be attended at the GCB symposium next month in London, so it'll be interesting, hopefully, for attendees to also find out a bit more about this $100 billion fund, which is just about to be closed. And Flipkart, an India-based e-commerce provider, may have just raised $1 billion in a round backed by eBay, Microsoft and Tencent, but a drop in its valuation from $15.5 billion in 2015 to $10 billion reflects a downturn in the e-commerce sector in general, according to our big deal analysis last week. Funding is set to be followed by an additional $1 billion, which reports will suggest will include $500 million from eBay as part of a merger between Flipkart and its Indian subsidiary, which along with reports that Flipkart is interested in a Snapdeal acquisition. JD Finance, the financial services spin-out of e-commerce firm JD.com, is reportedly raising funding at a $7.3 billion valuation. No word yet on investors, but its last round included billion share subscription co-led by insurance firm China Taiping Insurance, along with Sequoia Capital and China Harvest Investments. Tencent, which crops up fairly often in the large deals currently, given it puts out about $5 billion in equity in 100-plus deals in any given year. Might see fewer deals this year, perhaps, but certainly there seems to be no slowdown so far, and it's been helping hire Daifu Online to $200 million, a medical access platform secures to $200 million, and a Tencent-led Series D round, followed a $60 million round 2 years ago. We've just mentioned about Flipkart, but online grocery startups are popular in Asia, but in the Netherlands, we've seen Picnic come on the scene, raising a $109 million round and round led by NPM Capital, private equity arm of trading group SHV Holdings. Picnic uses electric vehicles to deliver its stock, describing itself as the milkman of groceries, and is still relatively early stage. Indian logistics services provider Delhivery has pulled in $100 million from Carlyle Group and Tiger Global, and it could extend this round to $150 million, with Fosun potentially, which is just losing the CEO, putting in $30 million. Round took Delhivery's total funding to more than $225 million, earlier backers including Times Internet. uCloud, China-based cloud computing services provider backed by Bertelsmann and Legend, has raised $139 million in Series D round, co-led by Advisor Holdings and CICC Alpha Capital, which increased uCloud's total funding to approximately $300 million will be used to grow the company's research team, as it looks to enhance its AI or artificial intelligence capabilities and expand internationally. Quantum computing circuit development Rigetti Computing has disclosed $64 million of funding across 2 rounds, $24 million A rounds featuring Bloomberg Beta and the $40 million Series B. Technology is fairly nascent, but if quantum computing manages to take off in a big way, then Bloomberg could generate a pretty substantial return. On the government side, Benson Hill has grown its $25 million Series B round, while on the university side, Saflux lights up with a $5 million investment. The LED technology developer
based on research conducted at Yale University, has raised money from investors such as Layard. Well, that's all from the global government and corporate and university venture in publications over the past week. Obviously, there's far more news than that, but that's some of the highlights as part of our Global Venture in Review podcast. That's all for me, Jay Mawson. And you can get a hold of me at Jay Mawson or JMAWSON at mawsonia.com.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.